Not far from us, prisoners were at work. Some were digging holes, others were carrying sand. None as much as glanced at us. We were withered trees in the heart of the desert. Behind me, people were talking. I had no desire to listen to what they were saying, or to know who was speaking and what about. Nobody dared raise his voice. Even though there was no guard around, we whispered, perhaps because of the thick smoke that poisoned the air and stung the throat. We were herded into yet another barrack inside the gypsy camp. We fell into ranks of five.
"And now stop moving!"
There was no floor. A roof and four walls. Our feet sank into the mud. Again the waiting. I fell asleep standing up. I dreamed of a bed, of my mother's hand on my face. I woke. I was standing, my feet in the mud. Some people collapsed, sliding into the mud. Others shouted, "Are you crazy? We were told to stand. Do you want to get us all in trouble?" As if all the troubles in the world were not already upon us. Little by little, we all sat down in the mud. But we had to get up whenever a capo came in to check if, by chance, somebody had a new pair of shoes. If so, we had to hand them over. No use protesting. The blows multiplied, and in the end, one still had to hand them over. I had new shoes myself, but as they were covered with a thick coat of mud, they had not been noticed. I thanked God, in an improvised prayer, for having created mud in his infinite and wondrous universe. Suddenly the silence became more oppressive. An SS officer had come in, and with him, the smell of the angel of death. We stared at his fleshy lips. He harangued us from the center of the barrack.
"You are in a concentration camp, in Auschwitz."
A pause. He was observing the effect his words had produced. His face remains in my memory to this day. A tall man, in his 30s, crime written all over his forehead and his gaze. He looked at us as one would a pack of leprous dogs clinging to life.
"Remember," he went on, "remember it always. Let it be graven in your memories. You are in Auschwitz, and Auschwitz is not a convalescent home. It is a concentration camp. Here you must work. If you don't, you will go straight to the chimney, to the crematorium. Work or crematorium. The choice is yours."
We had already lived through a lot that night. We thought that nothing could frighten us anymore. But his harsh words sent shivers through us. The word chimney here was not an abstraction. It floated in the air, mingled with the smoke. It was perhaps the only word that had a real meaning in this place. He left the barrack. The capos arrived, shouting, "All specialists, locksmiths, carpenters, electricians, watchmakers, one step forward." The rest of us were transferred to yet another barrack, this one of stone. We had permission to sit down. A gypsy inmate was in charge. My father suddenly had a colic attack. He got up and asked politely in German, "Excuse me, could you tell me where the toilets are located?" The gypsy stared at him for a long time from head to toe, as if he wished to ascertain that the person addressing him was actually a creature of flesh and bone, a human being with a body and a belly. Then, as if waking from a deep sleep, he slapped my father with such force that he fell down and then crawled back to his place on all fours. I stood petrified. What had happened to me? My father had just been struck in front of me, and I had not even blinked. I had watched and kept silent. Only yesterday I would have dug my nails into this criminal's flesh. Had I changed that much so fast? Remorse began to gnaw at me. All I could think was, I shall never forgive them for this. My father must have guessed my thoughts because he whispered in my ear, "It doesn't hurt." His cheek still bore the red mark of the hand.